And we're back on 94.7 The Pulse with Loretta Hart and Rob Cameron on Rob Cameron's Front Page.
Some time ago when I started this show, we get a thing called Media Stable come across the desk here at Pulse, and we find interesting people with interesting stories, and that's where I first met on air, still not having met in person, but very much a regular of the show, Bronte Price. Good morning and welcome.
Morning, Rob. Thank you very much.
Good to have you back. This is probably our third or fourth chat, and it's interesting going to subject matter that it wasn't all that long ago we didn't want to be talking about, but I find it almost exhilarating to be breaking through this new world for people in the LGBTI plus community who are now emboldened and proud and loud and starting to speak a little bit more with confidence, and it's a bright new world, Bronte, and I'm sure as part of that world you're pretty pleased, but still we have some issues to deal with.
Yeah, and those issues have been around for a long, long time, and sometimes we think we're making a heap of progress and then we, two steps forward and three back sometimes. But it's interesting to look back and think that 30, 50 years ago, these conversations could never have occurred.
Yeah.
Because it was illegal to be, quote, homosexual, and certainly in most of Australia at that time, and it was unsafe to have these conversations to someone who would disclose that they were gay.
Let's be really serious, honest and open about this, because I think at the moment it's almost a taboo to a degree, but a lot of these ridiculous laws that were introduced that made life difficult for people in your circle, they were based on religious views back when religion, particularly in our country, Christian religion was heavily involved in shaping our country. That's certainly become less of an issue, but sadly it seems to me that for the reason that the religious fraternities feel that they've got less of a grip, we seem to be going back a long way in our discussion, which is driven by religious ideology. Would you suggest that is probably one of the issues we're facing at the moment?
Yeah, sometimes it's religious, sometimes it's cultural as well, as in ethnic culture, ethnically cultural. But those views have been promulgated by various religions, certainly including Christianity in the various denominations, and that also has followed wherever the Commonwealth has been. For example, Britain has been colonising across the world, and soon after followed, of course, the Christian missionaries.
And the recent, what I would call somewhat embarrassing, I'm sure the Manly Sea Eagles Rugby League club admitted to that by handling a situation that should have been a great, joyous, happy, embracing time, turned out to be a bit of a media debacle internally, and again driven by ideological views of some players and most of that religious based. Does it concern you that to make this progress all the way that it needs to go, that this issue needs to be dealt with head on rather than just flitting around the edges of it?
I think there's a couple of issues at play in the Manly saga. So one of them is certainly the fact that there were seven players who refused to don the Guernsey, the rainbow Guernsey, because of personal and religious beliefs. That's one part of it. The other part, I think, is that you use the word debacle, and it became a debacle, I think, because of the way in which inclusion at Manly had been handled. And so it was a classic example of how not to do inclusion. If people are going to be affected, in this case the players are going to be affected by donning a Guernsey with some rainbow stripes on it, then certainly one would think they have the right to be consulted in the lead up to that rather than just be told they're going to wear it. So part of it is around those beliefs held by those seven players, and part of it's around, the way in which it was dealt with going in, I think.
There was some time ago where Ian Roberts, former Manly player, came out to be the first person to come out and declare that he was gay in that league, and I remember at the time that, well, not furor so much, but there was a lot of jaws hit the floor But he was tremendously courageous, and again, he stepped up to the plate to lead the charge. It's just a case, I suppose, in your situation, is just having these community leaders that are going to tackle this head on as he did.
Yeah, it's heartening when people like Ian Roberts are prepared to do that, and to step up and just say, this is just not on, this is just sad and wrong and regrettable. And even all those years after he came out, he's still, you know, at the helm of sport, in being one of the few at that level to ever come out as gay. That, the fact that there are so few who have come out in, I'm not just talking rugby league, but right across sport, it says something about the amount of work that's still to be done, I think.
Yeah, it was what I found more confronting at the time, and I hadn't realised until you put it, blazing it around, is the advertising slogan across the middle of that jumper, which is "Points Bet." I'd put it to you and many others that the problem of gambling in our society is far, 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 far worse than any impact that a change in cultural views on gay men, gay rights, and LGBTQI plus rights across the board anyway. That was lost in it a bit. Some people tried to make it an issue. It seemed to be buried, though, but that the hypocrisy of that really slapped in my face.
I think that's one of the things that had us scratching our heads was there it is in, I don't know what size font, but pretty big. And so people who hold these personal and religious views just ignore that, but are somehow threatened or concerned about, you know, a quite a thin rainbow, a couple of bands on their Guernsey. I don't understand that, but perhaps I don't need to. I don't know.
No, perhaps you don't. On the back of that, sadly too, in our own state, Shrine of Remembrance issue, which I've got to admit that I'm not completely over, except that again, there's confusion, uncertainty. We better not, in case someone's upset. Again, that's left a bit of a bad taste.
Oh, look, a lot of work had apparently been done by Shrine staff and members of the armed forces who had been LGBT, who are LGBTIQ plus. And they planned an exhibition, and part of the exhibition at the Shrine was to light up the 7 colonnades across the exhibition, and each one was going to be lit up a couple of nights ago ahead of that exhibition that celebrated LGBTIQ plus people in the armed forces. And it would have been a significant step in the right direction, I would have thought, and yet what happened, there was one particular member of the media who spoke up against such illumination of the Shrine. Staff at the Shrine then received really threatening phone calls and emails. So the staff, the CEO, decided to pull, not the whole exhibition, but to pull the illumination in rainbow lights of the Shrine. Again, it's, you know, it's wrong that people are subjected to that kind of abuse and threat, but at the end of the day, there's a lot of work to be done when people go to that measure and call the rainbow flag or the rainbow colours divisive, and all of a sudden they've got a turnaround from something that's celebratory, as happened with the Guernsey in rugby league, to something that's now, well, we can't have it because we're upsetting some people in the community, to the extent that they're enraged enough to threaten staff at the Shrine. I don't understand that bit either.
When you were talking earlier about the one step forward, two back, is which of those two, in your mind, is probably the biggest setback for your cause?
I think the sport one, because it's not just about rugby league, and it's not just about the players. There could be players in Manly's team or teams. There could be players in any other rugby league team at junior level anywhere across the state, for example. But more broadly, it could be in women's sport. It could be in men's sport. In any kind of sport across the state. And what it says is, it's still not safe in 2022 to come out in the sporting community. And that's the implication, I think. And that's pretty broad. And of course, it would have been terrific because it was only 30 years ago under Keating that the ban on LGBTIQ plus people serving in the military was lifted, and to have 30 years after that, some celebration would have been magnificent, would have been monumental. And so both of those, I think, have some implication, but the sporting one particularly is pretty broad.
Before we let you go, another thing I want to touch on, we had Steph Reynolds from the Blood Bank on, or Lifeblood as it's now called, on last week, and she was very, very happy with the lifting of restrictions around mad cow disease, which was probably a 20 or 30 year old thing now, and great joy around the community as a lot of people were able to go and donate blood, and it brought to the fore again a conversation we've already had around restrictions on gay men donating blood because of an issue that popped up, and rightfully so in my opinion, 40 odd years ago around AIDS and the restriction on blood donation then. And I think in that uncertain environment that made sense. However, we're probably 20 years past that, and all through Europe those restrictions have been lifted. Are you thinking that there's advance being made, and maybe on the back of this mad cow thing it might speed up the advance to change those archaic rules?
Look, I thought the lifting of the bans about mad cow disease was terrific, and like you said, we'll fill part of the gap that Red Cross faces every day about lack of blood donors. I have no idea of what's going on behind the scenes with regard to the Therapeutic Goods Administration and Lifeblood, and I would hope that somewhere someone is doing some pretty heavy work around having a look at what the restrictions are, what the conditions are that have allowed a heap of countries across certainly North America and Europe, as you said, to lift all those restrictions around. It's actually not just gay men, it's men who have anal sex or oral sex with men. So we know that there's people who identify as straight and bisexual and other who have that as well. So it's not just a gay community thing, it's broader than that.
Yeah, and we'd hope the changes would be coming. We hope that you do have advocates for the cause for the many people that do want to become blood donors and help fill this void that's there, working behind the scenes. But I got the impression from Steph that the organisation is aware and is working on it, but I guess the advocacy is the important thing to keep the issue at the forefront of their mind to do this. And when the wheel's already been invented throughout Europe, we would hope that would speed things up.
Yeah, same. I would have thought so, that we can learn from the overseas experience. And we can donate, LGBTIQ plus people can donate blood today, as long as we've been celibate for the last 3 months. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's sort of restriction.
Now, just quickly, Bronte, a bit of gratuitous self-promotion. You are a marriage celebrant these days, and I know that that's become, since the bans were lifted in that space, there's a lot of gay couples getting married, and it's fantastic that it is, and that must be a lot of fun for you. And how can people find you if they want a good celebrant?
Oh, they can search Gay Celebrant Melbourne, and I'll certainly pop up. But it's just joyful to see people who, I signed a notice of intended marriage a couple of days ago with a couple, one of whom is trans and non-binary, and one of whom is lesbian. And just such a, we're saying five years ago, this couldn't have happened. And they would have just lived together without the same right to get married as everyone else. It's just joyful to see these people be up to do this.
Good work, and good luck to you in the future. Thank you very much for the time this morning. We'll get you back on in a month or so and hopefully talk about happier things. Bronte, we really appreciate your time this morning.
Look forward to that, Rob. Thank
you. All the best.
Bye-bye.
Bronte Price, he's...